Blog Talk Radio.
Definitely, when you think about the fact that we already had our first African-American president, I think this is really an era of progression in American politics, and we could set the stage for really set an example for the rest of the world. If we have our first African-American president and then immediately follow that with our first woman president, that would just be amazing.
I think it would be really interesting to have yet another legacy of, like, continuing the Clintons. Like, we've had multiple Bushes, like, having another Clinton, like, having just that continued legacy seems kind of weird. But, I mean, Hillary is an amazing woman. She's done so much. And the idea of having a woman as president is really exciting.
Captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where unfortunately we still have 967 days, 4 hours, 56 minutes, and 11 goddamn seconds left of this Obama nightmare. Then we got to go to work, but that's all right. As long as we can end this and we can start fixing it, that's what it takes. But until then, we must remain dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of that cost. Now, remember, shipmates, freedom ain't cheap, and we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. So you want to be a part of the program today, don't be shy. 646-716-7978, or you can join the captain's chat room. Now, I must warn you, I'm not very good with the chat room. It's not that I'm not very good with the chat room, but I'm busy with all this other crap that I got going on. So sometimes I don't really look at it. But that's for you guys. Anyway, you know it as well as I do. As long as there's one stinking liberal on planet frickin' Earth, it's a very, very, very busy news day. Well, again, today is absolutely no exception. So to combat that, we must lift our jib and get this freedom ship underway. Yes. We're officially officially underway and headed out to sea. Bosun makes shift colors. Okay, before we get into the scuttlebutt of the day, I know I cannot leave this girl alone. I just cannot leave this little girl alone. And it's when I speak of her, and I'm talking of Justina Pelletier, when I speak of her, I'm not speaking just of her. Speaking of all the thousands, tens of thousands, more than likely hundreds of thousands. How many hundreds of thousands? Well, we don't know. Could it be in the millions? Well, definitely within a possibility. I don't care if it's one. The point is, it's far too frickin' many. So when I speak of Justina Pelletier, I'm not speaking just about Justina Pelletier. I'm speaking about all of them. Look, there are some kids that need to be taken away from their parents because the parents, you know, I mean, look, we all know there's some crazy wacko people out there. You want to give this kid at least an opportunity. But you take him from one hellhole and you put him in another. It doesn't make any sense. Why do they do? There are some foster homes that are good. Directly across the street when I was a kid, we had foster homes there. All different kinds of kids. They were actually pretty good. They intermingled. Yeah, they were they rowdy kids? Yeah. Did some of them, you know, have to get arrested? Well, maybe one. But at least they had an opportunity. They were in a neighborhood. They were going to school. They had friends. But some of these hellholes they put these kids in, I mean, we've seen all the videotapes. I mean, just one just recently. A lady was whipping some lady who had, I don't know, she had something. I don't know what kind of something, but it was much more than her mother could actually do. So she thought the foster parent would take care of the kid. Well, it's not a kid. The woman was a woman. I think she was like 25, 24, whatever. I don't care how old she is. It's a human, for Christ's sakes. That's the damn point. But she's whipping it and saying, well, this is how you do it. This is how you get these people under control is you whip them. And you hit them. You let them know who's in charge. These are the people that are supposedly giving this child who just came from a very abusive household or a household that they was total neglect, never even knew the kid even existed. Mother's on drugs, daddy's on drugs when he's out of jail. And I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of crap going on. So you want to give the kid a better life. So you bring him into a home where there's a million other kids and they're all bad kids and they all beat up this kid. The parents rape him. I mean, it's all kinds of crap going on. Meanwhile, a father, his duty, his responsibility, his obligation as a parent. I mean, it comes natural. If that's your parent, I I'm not a parent, but a family is family. You don't have to be, and as far as family goes, you don't even have to be blood. A friend. Or just could be a total freaking stranger, man. It's a human being. And if you are in care of an adolescent, a girl 14 years old, I think we all agree that 14 in American society is far too young to be on your own. You still need mommy and daddy. So when the father, who is doing what a father should do, as far as I know, take care of his daughter, make sure she gets all the best medical care, you know, got all the right, you know, got her into activities, ice skating, going to a school because she can't keep up with the other kids. So at least she's going to a school and she's learning, probably learning how to read, write, do math. Punk-ass bitch, 7 months out of medical school, gets a hard-on over the fact that it's now his patient because he's 7 months out of medical school. He's a doctor, man. He's the one in charge. I still can't believe that there wasn't some other doctor there to intervene and say, hey, kid, come here. You're an idiot. Shut up. Go find the doctor that they came in here for and go help that person over there. See, yeah, he's bleeding profusely out of his friggin' jugular vein. Why don't you go see if you can sew him up? Go do something useful and get the hell out of here. Where was that doctor? Where was that supervisor? Well, we don't know. Maybe he was upstairs eating dinner with the president. MIA. We don't know. Then he calls in his little psychiatrist buddy, who probably a week ago said, hey, yeah, this is how medicine works now. You're 7 months out of medical school. You know, you're not making very much money. I can give you a couple bucks, man. Here's what you do. You get a kid that comes in and, you know, has got this and this and this. Well, you just, you know, you give me a call. You give them an attitude. You make them feel like they're inferior and you know more than them. You're the doctor. You're 7 months out of medical school. You know everything. Meanwhile, you've met this child, 10 minutes ago? Already you got a tude? I mean, what are you kidding me? You don't even know anything about this kid. You don't know anything about her history. But she comes into the ER. See, this is what this is, man. Trickle-down tyranny, man. Starts at the top, and everybody down below, they got to tyrannize, too. Oh, look at me. I could be a little tyrant, too. The more people you can tyrannize, well, I guess the higher up you are in the game. I guess you get a prize. I still haven't figured out what the end game of all this tyranny is. I figured out the end game of the Constitution. I figured that one out. That was a pretty easy one, if you read it. And if you're able to understand it without perverting it, so you can make it match whatever kind of twisted fantasies you have. I mean, I don't know why the left is so with the things that they come up with. I mean, they're arbitrary. They're useless. But they have no purpose other than just to belittle the other side and make the other side look like they're climate deniers. So you're saying that I deny that there's a climate? I mean, what are you talking about? You're an idiot. Shut up. Man-made global warming? Well, they don't say man-made global warming anymore. Now it's global chaos or climate chaos. But it went from that to climate change. Climate is constantly changing. I know this because I studied this stuff in college. Then I studied it in the Navy and used it. Not all of that stuff did I have to use in the Navy, but it was nice to know. And then I continued my studies. All you have to do is study the history of the planet. That gives you a lot of information right there. Then you combine the science of what's out there in outer space. The sun. The sun does a lot, by the way. How close we are to the sun does a lot. And since we're on a tilt, that's not exactly, perfect. It's going to move around a little bit. The orbit isn't perfect. Nothing's perfect. So that does directly affect not only the weather, but the climate. Not only does, the weather have its seasons, but so does the climate. I didn't invent the universe. I'm just smart enough to be able to pay attention, study, and remember, and learn, and know All kinds of crazy stuff go on there. We can't control any of that. I mean, granted, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to navigate our way into fuels that we don't have to use, you know, from oil, reusable fuels. I mean, eventually all oil is going to be done. Come on. I mean, there's only so much oil. Planet just doesn't produce it. I guess, you know, unless we create a really big Jurassic Park, invent a bunch of dinosaurs, kill them, put them in like a big giant pressure cooker. I don't know what the hell to do. I don't know how the hell to turn a dinosaur into a frickin' can of oil. So eventually this stuff is going to run out. But yeah, people do want to breathe clean air. Nobody wants... People want a job. We don't have the technology yet where we can just pass a piece of legislation and say, okay, now do this. It would be nice. I'd like to have that. That'd be cool. I could pass all kinds of legislation, all kinds of technology. But it don't work that way. If this EPA wants to make all these recommendations, well, they need to come up with the solutions and the product to prove it. So if they want these coal mines to do this, and they want these mines to do that, and these factories to do this, and these farmers to do that, and these people who have a pond in their backyard, they got to do this. Well, they need to come up with a model, a solution that works, that's effective. Well, you'll never get that. But that's not their job. Their job is to take control of the land. They want to snatch all of the land. Land, sea snatch. Sorry, when I said snatch and then land was talking about land, I'm sorry, but sometimes I do that. I quote lines from movies, there's nothing I can do about it. Being an actor, I'm sorry I do it from time to time. So, but that was from Blazing Saddles, I'm sorry. Good God, where the hell did we, I started with Justina Pelletier, and we're on Blazing Saddles. Good, I mean, how? I mean, I'm worse than a freaking liberal, man. I go from one, boom, boom, boom. But anyway, there's always something going on here. And I got this from somebody, God only knows. I get stuff from people all over. But there are rallies all over the place. You just got to look for them. May 28th and May 30th, it looks like 12 p.m. to 4 p.m., a rally led by the Reverend Mahoney. We've all heard of Reverend Mahoney. He is the Pelletier's Reverend. He's in Boston. On 5/28, and her parents have critical meeting with the DCF on 5/30. That would be, today is what, Wednesday, Thursday? Well, that'd be Friday. All right. Why don't they meet now? This is what I don't understand. Why haven't they met already? First of all, why was she even put in the DCF? Well, we all know why they were put in there. Money. This is how these people make a living. And speaking of climate, this is how these scientists make a living. This is how they make a living off of you, the taxpayer. They put up in a grant. They fill out a grant. And having my own theater, I know what it's like to fill out a grant. Nobody knows me, so I never got any. But I have produced shows, some of my own. I can produce a show, boy. I can produce a show. I can put up a show. I can put on a show, man. I can do it all. Sweep the floors, hang the lights, get on stage, act, do everything. Run the lights, the sound, you name it. Take the tickets. I like doing it all. I can put on a show, man. I can put on a damn good show. I love the theater. Now I'm all blasted off into that. Jesus, God, we're never going to get through anything tonight. Well, anyway, this is how they make a living. They come up with an idea for a grant, how they can make money. So they make this model. And it makes it look like, well, the planet's going to, you know, melt into a giant, you know, dried prune in like 15 years. Well, the French gave us 500 days. And then we cross the Rubicon and there's, you know, point of no return. We're done. 500 days. Well, we better act. I mean, shut up. yeah, we should work for cleaner fuels, but we got to do it responsibly. We got to get the technology, and we got to make it where it's practical. Just passing a piece of legislation ain't going to cut it, honey. If we cut the EPA out of things, we might actually get something frickin' accomplished. That's number one. But in any event, there's a meeting with the DCF and the Pelleteers Friday. And they are recruiting volunteers to pray for Justina. And she has been released starting 12 p.m. on 5/28. Oh, that she be released. Okay, I see what they're doing. And they're going to continue around the clock for the next 52 hours. So that's in Boston. So if you're anywhere near Boston, find some place. Look, if you only can stay a couple hours, stay a couple hours. At least show your support in somehow, some way. Get on the horn, call your stupid congressman. Call your stupid governor that lives up in there. Whatever the, I don't know what the capital of Massachusetts is. I don't really care. I had to learn all that crap in the fifth grade. I'd learned it just to learn it, and I don't give a damn. To me, it doesn't matter what your stupid capital city is. To me, and the names and all that stuff doesn't matter. I'm a simpleton. The fact is, this girl should not be stuck in any kind of government housing facility of any kind. The only housing facility she should be in should be with her family, her mother, her father, and her sister. That's it. And the government should not make any more visits. Stay out of their lives. But see, Geraldo Rivera, he's not worried about that slippery slope. I don't care about that slippery slope. The Second Amendment stinks. Well, so do you, Geraldo. I mean, just shut up. You as a lawyer. You as a lawyer should have learned at least a little bit of the Constitution. Don't give me all this high and mighty crap. You don't care about the slippery slope. Well, I do. Look at the slippery slope here. Yeah, children do need to be taken from their parents. Yeah, we understand that. But you don't take them. I know I take the scenic route, but I do, eventually I get home. But you don't take them from their parents so you can get a bonus, so you can keep your job. This is how they make money. And those climate scientists, that's how they make money. They come up with this model. Look at this. Yeah, look at this. Yeah, the planet's going to be all just completely dried up, screwed up, messed up. We're all going to die. So we got to do this, this, and this. This is what we got to do. Got to stop everything. No oil. No breathing. No nothing. Can't eat meat, can't eat this, can't do this, can't do that. Well, they give this stupid model that says the world's going to end in 10 years, 15 years, whatever's going to work for them. So the government gives them this grant to come up with a book or a thesis or a whatever. This is how they make a living. And it's bogus. They take numbers. They can manipulate the number any way they want to. They go on MSNBC, they go on CNN, and they go on Brian Williams, who just interviewed that Snowden. And now he's saying that he's not some, kid that had a GED and this and that, and he's a spy. I mean, I don't know who to believe. I really don't know if I believe that Snowden or not. Maybe I do. I don't know. I don't know who to believe. I don't know if I should believe the government. I don't know if I should believe Snowden. I don't know who the hell to believe. But it doesn't really matter how big of a spy you are. The point is the information was allowed to get extracted from the NSA. That is the point that I have with it. That's my problem. How the hell? I don't care if you're a top spy or not. I mean, the guy's not very old. So, I mean, how top of a spy can he possibly be? Evidently, he was a guest speaker for, I don't know, the military. He's a computer genius, this cat. So now he's a computer. He went from a kid that never graduated high school and got a GED to a computer genius to, I mean, God only knows what he's going to be next. A monk? I mean, come on. I don't know who the hell to believe. And that's why I just can't, I can't really focus on these stories, because it's garbage. Everything that comes out of everybody's mouth anymore is nothing but trash. You can't believe a goddamn word anybody's saying. But my biggest problem is, how did that information, how was that information allowed to get extracted from that facility? That is the problem. Well, you've got an administration that, and they don't like to pay attention to a lot of details because it's work. You know, it interferes with the golfing, interferes with the little parties, interferes with the little science fairs, and don't ask him, don't ask the king a question about foreign policy, about putting more weapons in the hands of Al-Qaeda to topple, supposedly to topple, topple Assad in Syria. What do you think they're going to do with all those weapons? You think they're just going to topple Assad? You don't think the United States is going to be going to get hit? So if you give them weapons and you be nice to them, they're not going to attack us anymore? Oh. Yeah, you be nice to them like that, they're going to move in. And once they got enough people in, guess what? They take over. That's their plan, Mr. President. Is that your plan, too? I mean, is the president a spy? I mean, you don't know who the hell's a spy these days. But my problem is, whether he's a spy, he's a computer genius, or he's a, you know, just some schmuck that needed a job because he never graduated high school, but he got his GED. It doesn't matter. The point is, I'm top spy. I don't care who it is. That information should never have been extracted. Don't they have any protocols? I mean, the biggest spy agency on planet Earth, supposedly, spying on everybody. I'm sure Jesus has his phone calls tapped in. God's over there getting tapped in. Who knows what the hell they're doing? They got a report in Afghanistan of all the millions of phone calls they recorded. I mean, it's just like, what the... Look, don't tell me, you know, I don't need all the gory details. Do your job and keep me safe and shut up about it. You don't need to spy on citizens unless they're a suspect. And if they're a suspect, you go to a judge, you get a signature. If the judge doesn't give you a signature, that means you don't have enough information. Just because you're the government doesn't mean that you can just do whatever the hell you want. We do understand you do need certain leeways. You do need certain autonomy over certain things. We get it. I understand it. But Mr. Rivera, Mr. Geraldo Rivera, that slippery slope. You give the government an inch, man, they're gonna take the entire freaking league. Not for nothing, but you can't give the government anything. And if you are going to give them something, you need to make it absolutely, positively specific, like the Second Amendment says. It shall not be infringed. But again, these words mean absolutely nothing unless the public demands that the government follow it. I think we're starting to see pockets of people standing up. Started with the Tea Party, started with this, started with that, boom, boom, boom. Now you got Operation American Spring. Hey, you got people all over, man, and that's what it takes. There's a lot of fights to fight. And for people to put down somebody else's fight just pisses me off. Shut up. I don't want to listen to it. I just don't. Shut up. What are you doing? Huh? What's your fight? Okay, well, maybe I'm going to criticize that. How about that? Oh, that's not fair. Ah, what are you doing? Ah, ah. Shut up. Look, we're Americans, goddammit. We're going to be united. We need to start acting like it. Look, you don't like the Operation American Spring? Fine. Go find something you do like. Okay, fine. It didn't get millions of people. We didn't overnight get all of our freedoms back. But it's still a fight. These are Americans. They're standing up and saying no more. And that's what it takes. You got to find your fight too. You got to find that. First of all, you got to find it in your heart. And then you got to find it outside. And then you got to fight it. And you got to win. Losing, I don't even know what that word is. There's no losing. There's winning. That's it. There's winning and there's winning. And that's it. That's all you get. You can win and that's it. And we never leave anybody behind. Whether they're in Benghazi or a Mexican jail or stuck in a psych ward. We never leave a man behind, period. And this man flies halfway across the globe to try to kiss the military's ass. Look at me, I got your back. But no, you don't. Your actions say you don't. You still haven't sent us to Benghazi. A goddamn CNN reporter got there before the friggin' FBI. What, are you kidding me? CNN? 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 CNN gets to Benghazi before the FBI. Where was the military? Why didn't you bring any kind of military in, at least afterwards, since you couldn't get there on time, to stop it, to fight it? Think maybe you could send somebody, after it was over, because obviously you know what time it's going to be over. Send somebody in, maybe clean up the mess, secure the embassy since it's American soil. Well, it's considered American soil. Think maybe you could send somebody in, anybody? No. No, it's too dangerous, too hot. Oh, really? You think? Well, see, the problem with Obama now, and we're going to get to the scuttlebutt of the day here. Otherwise, we're never going to get anything done. But the reason Obama's having trouble, I guess his magic pen is running out of ink. He's got a checkbook. I mean, hear this guy. Guy's got a pen. He's already told the country, I don't know how many times, he's not going to go through Congress. He's got a pen. He's got a phone. He's got a checkbook. He can write as many checks as he wants. He can do whatever the hell he wants. He doesn't have to follow that Constitution. A Constitution. What? I didn't say anything in here that the king has to follow it. No, this is just, it's outdated. And it stinks. Why do we even have it? Let's rewrite another one. I don't understand that. Why would we rewrite another one? All the stuff in here, it's pretty specific. It's pretty simple. It's not very complicated. Maybe that's what it is. See, liberals don't know how to, they don't know how to function unless they've got chaos. They've got complications. Guy has got to be falling. Everybody's got this Chicken Little syndrome. Oh, this guy's going to fall. We're all going to die. Well, what is not a Chicken Little syndrome is the fact that we are losing freedoms. Those are not, that's not a phony scandal. That's real. That's real. The president has not been following this Constitution to the letter, which is what you're supposed to do. Because there's a spot in here where the president has to take an oath He's got to, you know, put his hand on a Bible, or in his case, the Quran, and raise his hand and have the traitor, Justice of the goddamn Supreme Court Justice Roberts, screw it up for you, which was an omen, by the way. Never thought Justice would be Roberts would be a never thought he'd flip. I still believe, I don't have any proof, I still believe in my heart of hearts, somebody got to him, the government got to him somehow, some way. They've got pictures of him with the little boy in cowboy suits, or they've got him doing some kind of something. They got him by the short and curlies. They got to him. And he changed his mind in the 11th hour. But that ain't right. And what really sucks is these Supreme Court justices are there for life and you can't fire the bastards. Well, I understand the purpose for it. I understand the purpose why, you know, you're not supposed to, you don't eliminate corruption. Well, no, the longer you're in there, the more corrupt you get. That's the damn problem. Maybe we should put an age limit restriction on there. So you have to be at least, I don't know, let's say 90. And if you're not 90, well, you can't serve. I mean, you know, hey, if you got a guy that can stay there over, you know, over 10 years, hey, good for him. But when you're stuck with these people, that not most of them anymore, the left, ones on the left, they don't follow the Constitution. They're all gung-ho with getting rid of this document. They hate it. I mean, how could you be a Supreme Court justice who was there specifically to uphold and make sure that whatever laws are being passed is within the boundaries of this document, the Constitution? How can you be a Supreme Court justice and then hate it? Why can't you say, you know what, I'm really not the right person to be Supreme Court justice, see, because I hate this document. I don't believe in freedom. And the Second Amendment stinks. It's outdated. It's racist. It's only for white people. So I must decline your offer. I will not accept a nomination. I will not be a Supreme Court justice. But do they do that? No, they jump at the chance. Oh, yeah. Now we can really tear up this document. Yeah. Well, it looks like Obama's having difficulty tearing up that document. So he's at a fundraiser. And he can't blame Bush anymore. That's gotten, even for liberals, it's gotten old. Of course, Pelosi, as dumb as she is, she was blaming Bush the other day. The VA, you know. It's all Bush's fault. Well, no, it's government's fault. It's the public's fault. It's everybody's fault. It's America's fault. There's a lot of fault to go around for everybody. Stop with the goddamn finger pointing. Let's clean up the goddamn mess. You got a big pile of spilled milk all over the freaking floor. What do? You sit around here for weeks on end, months and years, pointing fingers at who spilled it? Meanwhile, it's starting to stink. Flies are coming in, other kinds of bugs, maggots. God only knows. Or do you just clean up the goddamn mess so it doesn't stink and you don't get the flies? No, we can't do that. That's government. We can't be held responsible. So instead of cleaning up the mess, we got to spend all of our time getting with our speechwriters, getting with our spokespersons so they can go out there and spin it a certain way. And then we got to clear it through the proper government channels and make sure that we don't disclose any information. And we got to put the few, you know, these new target words. So they got a whole group of kids sitting around there, you know, on their computers there, and are coming up with, you know, new words that people would respond to. It's all about aesthetics with these people. You go out and you give a speech. Oh, yeah, that speech, that really did it for me. I'm sorry, but I don't get myself all exercised over a goddamn speech. It's a speech. Okay, fine. You're going to come out here and you're gonna say a bunch of good stuff? Okay, then follow it up. That's all we're asking the government to do. If you're going to come out here and you're going to say all these things, oh, you're going to clean up the VA. That's why you hired this new guy. We're going to get to the bottom of it. George Bush should be thrown in jail for what he did. We're going to get to the bottom of it. I care about you. Blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, more and more vets are being put on more and more lists so supervisors can get a bonus and their workers can go home early so they can plan for their Memorial Day vacation. Their Memorial Day weekend. Their barbecue. Their party. Unfriggin' believable. How anybody could do this, I don't care. I don't care if they're prisoners. They're people. You do not put people on lists. Who gets to live and who gets to die? But didn't the Nazis do something a little similar to that? A little bigger scale, but didn't they do something similar to that? Weren't people put on certain lists? These people over here, these can live and these ones can't. Is that what they did? Pretty sure they did. Ask Bill O'Reilly. He's an expert on Nazism. No, Nazism will never come to the United States. No. You don't need lightning bolts on your collar and wearing brown shirts to be a frickin' Nazi. It's tyranny. Same. But now Obama, he's running out of people to blame. So now, being the constitutional scholar that he is, I mean, you've got to be kidding me. How do they give these people these degrees? I mean, you listen to some of these jackasses that come on all these stupid talk shows. How do they give these people law degrees is what I'd like to know. When they have how the hell? I mean, the Attorney General. How the hell can these people, unless it's deceit, it's deceit. It's a lie. They're trying to manipulate it to make it look like they can do whatever they want. Oh, that's within the Constitution. Sure it is. Sure, I'm the Attorney General. I know more than everybody. It's constitutional. We don't need to go to the Supreme Court. I just said it is. So it is. President comes out, oh, yeah, I don't need to go to Congress. I got a pen and a phone. Constitution gives me that. No, the Constitution doesn't. No, the Constitution doesn't. And I don't buy this goddamn executive order privilege crap. When I read it, it doesn't, that's not what it says to me. And yeah, I know they've all used it. Well, so just because they've all used it doesn't mean that we can't stop it, because it's obviously gotten out of control. And America's not benefiting from it. Yeah, do I agree that the president should have some certain powers? Yes. But I believe that those powers must be expressly written into the Constitution, meaning you can't go beyond these boundaries. And you must make it extremely difficult in the language where they cannot manipulate it, misconstrue it, interpret it. I don't believe in interpretations anyway. anybody can interpret anything. Doesn't mean it's legitimate, doesn't mean it's real, doesn't mean it's right. It just means you've interpreted it. Okay, fine. You want to be different just to be different? Then fine, be different. But you're an idiot. So shut up. But getting back to the scuttlebutt of the day, not back to it, to start, actually. Obama's run out of all of the people to blame, so now it's the founding fathers. That's why he can't get anything passed. He's got a pen. He's got a phone. He doesn't need to go to Congress. He doesn't need the Supreme Court. He's got a checkbook. I mean, he's got it all, man. And he's still complaining. Well, he's at a Democratic fundraiser. I mean, look, I mean, all the problems that's going on, I mean, with the VA alone, he's on another fundraiser. Are you raising money to get that Marine out of the Mexican jail? Huh? Have you made a phone call there to the Mexican president? And say, yeah, can you release my war hero? Yeah, he fought a couple wars for me, a couple times he was over there. And, well, he's seen a lot, done a lot, and I owe him a lot. You know, if it wasn't for people like him, I wouldn't be where I am today. So I think maybe you can let him go, release him. Since we released, you know, what, 13,000 of your citizens that were rapists and child molesters and just your all-around bad dudes. 1,000, you think maybe you can release one? Oh, you're not. Oh, okay. Well, we're going to send some Marines at your door tomorrow morning. And, well, we're going to whoop your ass until you release him. So you have up until exactly right now to get my war hero out of your goddamn jail. Put him in a cab and take him across the frickin' border. Did that happen? No. 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 Mr. Mom Jeans? No. Come on. He ain't going to do that. He might have to actually do something. All the problems with the VA, all the problems with this, all the problems with that, all these problems everywhere, and he's got to still continue to go to these fundraisers. Look, I understand, you know, for your party, whatever, but enough is enough. Can you go to the Oval Office? Do you know where it is? I know you've had a couple of pictures taken there of you with your goddamn feet on the desk, which does not make you look presidential, by the way. It makes you look like a slouch and a slob and somebody who doesn't give a damn about his frickin' job. And if you don't care about your job, you need to resign. Because your job is affecting me. Your job is affecting everybody. The whole country as a whole, everybody. You know, you want to live your life your way, that's fine. But when you start affecting other people's lives because of your incompetence, your deceit, your devious little plans, whatever the hell they are, they ain't working. They're not working out for me, I can say that. Now, if they're working out for you and you like it, okay, fine. But I'm pretty sure that a lot of Americans are on my side, and a lot more are coming over every day. But we still don't have enough. Benghazi is set on fire, he goes up and eats. Has a two-hour phone call, and then we don't know. Was he practicing his speech for the other fundraiser? I mean, is that all he does? Fundraise and golf. Get in the Oval Office. I think there ought to be another amendment in the Constitution where the president has to spend a certain amount of days in that Oval Office working. Maybe punch a time card. Pay him by the hour. Well, this guy, I'm sure he'd be at $1.50 by now. But he's at a fundraiser in Chicago. Murder capital of the goddamn globe. tells a small group of wealthy supporters. Oh, wait a minute. Wealthy supporters. Wait a minute. Is that only wealthy people were the Koch brothers? The only people that are rich are the Koch brothers. And that's it. Everybody else is, you know. But a group of wealthy supporters that were, that there are several hurdles keeping Democrats in control of the Senate and recapturing of the House. So he looks at these are hurdles because he can't give what he wants. He's got to capture the House and got to capture the Senate. And one of those problems, he says, is the appointment of two Senate seats to each state, regardless of population. He doesn't like the fact that that's the way it was written. I mean, does he like anything about the Constitution at all? Does he understand why the Senate is the Senate, why it came up to be? No, obviously he doesn't. But he's a constitutional scholar. Didn't they teach that when you were in constitutional school? Idiot. I'm sorry, but this is not interpretation of the Constitution. This is perversion of the Constitution. He's a pervert. That's what perverts do. They pervert things. Why don't you go back to Constitution school? You were ahead of the president of the so-called Harvard Law Review, which is what? And what did he do? Did he show up? Did he do anything? He give a speech? What the hell does he do? What the hell does the Harvard Law Review do? That's impressive? To who? Students? I mean, do world leaders, rely on the Harvard Law Review? No, not that I know. Freaking school newspaper. Obviously, the nature of the Senate means that California has the same number of Senate seats as Wyoming. Well, yeah. He says that puts us in a disadvantage. This is what he says. Because of the Constitution, it puts the Democrats in disadvantage. The First Amendment puts Democrats in a disadvantage. This is how they look at it. They look at this Constitution as a disadvantage to them. Yeah, that's the point. That's the point, boys. That's the point. What he wants the same number of senators as there are representatives in the House. So all of his little blue states, look what he could do. Like California and New York, they all got a gazillion goddamn electoral votes. And they really want that Texas, because Texas has got a lot too. And they like it when they get Florida. Florida's got a lot too. So this is what he wants. What he wants is Democrats to win every single election and just force the Republicans completely out of power, completely out of the government. Isn't that what the Nazis did too? Didn't they do that? Maybe I should ask Bill O'Reilly. He being a history teacher and all, maybe he can tell me if that's not what the Nazis did. But no, Nazism will never come into the United States. It'll never get here. No. He also blamed demographics. Oh, see? Demographics. Is there anything that he won't blame? Frickin' grass. How about the sky? Blame the demographics for the inability of the Democratic Party to gain more power in Congress, saying Democrats tend to congregate a little more densely in cities such as New York and Chicago. See, what he wants is he wants to take those people and infiltrate them into other areas, other states where they're coming close. And if they get enough people in there, well, they can turn that entire state Democrat. See, they can vote for all Democrats, all in the House and all in the Senate. This is how these parties take over. And this is what he wants. He's not concerned with how the government is run, that it's run fair. So in the Senate, each state has a certain number of an equal amount of representation. We understand why they have it in the House, because the House represents the people. That's why you have one representative per certain people, certain number of people, certain areas. But in the Senate, they have two for each state. That way you have each state's got at least a little, you know, much more equal opportunity to contribute into the government. Don't these liberals love equality? I thought they did. That they were all about equality. Equality, equality, equality. Everything's got to be equal. Equal, equal, equal. Well, it's only equal if the Democrats win. Then it's equal. But if the Koch brothers give money to the Republicans, well, that's not equal. See, because the Koch brothers didn't give them any money. Yeah, but George Soros didn't give money to the Republicans. Well, he doesn't have to, because Republicans are haters. Don't you know? Come on. But this is what he wants to do. He wants to take total power over the entire government. Now, I don't think he's going to make it this time around. But you can tell in his mind, this is what he wants to do. This is their master plan. This is Valerie Goebbels. This is her idea. This is her plan. This is what they want. This is a liberal way of doing business. This is what they want. So that if there are no Republicans in government, and if there are maybe just a couple, they can do whatever they want. They can rewrite the Constitution any way they want. They can rewrite it, scrap it, burn it, and rewrite another one. And there's not a damn thing any Republican can do about it, or the public. Well, there is things you can do, but at that point, it's going to take a while. We can't cross the Rubicon. I've already crossed it. I'm done. I've had enough. I'm fed up. But we can't cross it to a point where we just give up inside and say, screw it, I can't fight anymore. Once you get to that point, then it's done. And then you deserve anything that comes your way. I know it sucks. We shouldn't have to fight about this. Why should we have to fight for freedom? Freedom. We already won it, man. We already fought the British. We got this document. What do you mean fight? We don't have to. The government follows this document. So why do we got to fight? Well, because the government isn't following it. And the American people aren't demanding enough of themselves to demand enough of the government to follow it or get out. This election in November is it. This is it, man. This is it. The sky is falling. That's right. I'm sorry. Chicken Little syndrome or not. But the sky will fall. We can turn this ship around. We just need to do it. Just a little bit of logic, a little bit of common sense. Look in the mirror. Look inside you. Figure out a couple of things. Where do you really want to go? What do you really want to do? What is best for you? Not what the government tells you is best for you, but what do you tell you is best for you? And if you don't know, well, stay out of the conversation. You're an idiot. But the structure of the legislative branch was forged out of the Connecticut Compromise. I wonder if they taught that in Harvard.
Hmm.
You know, him being a constitutional scholar, he also was a professor.
Yeah.
Professor that was a guest speaker that rarely showed up. Not much of a professor. And if a professor is going to be upset that every state has equal representation in the Senate, tells me somebody doesn't really exactly know the Constitution as well as he claims he does. Or he's trying to manipulate it so he can have the power. He says it gives Republicans disproportional clout in Congress. See? Damn Republicans, they got to vote. We've got to put an end to that. Get the BLM down there. Get the EPA down there. Get the post office down there. Get them all down there. Hell. Send the IRS, everybody. I had some stuff here I was going to talk, but I'm sick and tired of talking about this idiot. I don't understand, of all these people, and it's not like these people don't know, and if they don't know, why do they not know? When I listen to a liberal, especially if they talk about the Constitution, you can tell that they don't read it, and they never have. They find out what the Constitution means when they turn on television. If MSNBC says that it's constitutional, then it is. And then they just regurgitate it. They have no idea what is and what isn't. They talk about the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, Third Amendment, Fourth Amendment, all these amendments. They have no idea. They have no idea. All you got to do is read the goddamn thing. It says it right here. It's pretty simple, plain and simple. None of this stuff is very difficult to comprehend. None of it. There's a couple of words you might have to look up that we don't use anymore in our language, our vocabulary today. But other than that, no, it's pretty cut and dry. I don't see any racism in here. Okay, fine. They were counted 3/5, which I'm sorry, but I'm not going to go into that tonight. Maybe I should, I don't know. But if you don't know why they were counted 3/5, you need to look it up. It was more of a good thing than a bad thing. But see, they don't teach that. What they teach is all white people looked at black people. That's only 3/5 of a human being over there. See, look at that black guy over there. Look at him. Yep. He's only 3/5 of a human being. He's not white. Well, that's not why they were counted. It was a way to try to put an end to slavery. But see, they don't teach that in constitutional school anymore. What they teach us, a white man is racist, and that's it. I did have some stuff from Federalist number 62. If you don't know what I'm talking about the Federalist Papers. It was 84 essays. They were sent to the state of New York, trying to get them to sign on. Sell them on the Constitution. It is very long-winded. Madison does go on. And I do have some stuff I want to read, but we've already covered it. We've covered it enough. We know why there's two senators in every state. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. The president, well, he probably does know it, but he doesn't like it because he's just trying to get more power, trying to get more money, trying to win another election. It has nothing to do with following the Constitution. Making sure the government is running smoothly, that the American people are his top priority. especially if they're in the military or they're a veteran. They're not getting help because they're on a secret list. Or they take a wrong turn and they're stuck in a Mexican jail. But the president will fly halfway across the globe to talk to the troops to give them an 11-minute speech. I don't know how long the speech was. 10 minutes, 11 minutes, 10 minutes. Who cares what the number is, how many stupid minutes it is. The fact is, why would he need to go over there for that? He's got all these problems with the VA. So he's on spin mode. So he flies over to Afghanistan and tells them he's got their back. Well, if you want to prove to them that you got their back, maybe you should have, either stayed in the Oval Office and was in the Situation Room making sure that these VAs were getting the help they needed, or maybe you should have gone to the VA that was having all these problems and check it out for yourself and make sure that it gets fixed. You could have done that. You didn't need to fly all over to the goddamn globe to give a speech. Don't they got Skype? They don't want to listen to you speak. They want to see you do. They don't want to hear a goddamn speech. They want you to show them that you have their back. Don't tell them you got their back. Show them. And flying across the goddamn globe to give a speech is not showing anybody anything, which you read from a teleprompter. But I did have some stuff here from the Federalist Papers on this very thing. And it is Madison, and he does go on and on and on. I mean, the guy does. Okay, fine, it's colorful and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, get to the point. He's worse than me. But if you can filter through it all, it does explain it. But we don't need to explain it because, see, we all went to school. We studied this in high school. At least, you know, they used to teach it in high school. Maybe they don't anymore. I don't know. I don't know what the hell they teach in schools anymore, not with this Common Core crap. God only knows what they teach. They don't teach at all. They're not teaching their programming. Just giving kids certain bits of information, and this is what you memorize. Don't matter how you got there and what it means, just memorize this. Republicans are bad. They're evil. They're racist. They hate. All right. Let's open up my treasure chest here, see if we can plunder for any booty. Here's a story. The U.S. Marine that's held in a Mexican jail fires his lawyer and gets a new one. I think I know why he's doing it, but we'll get to it. A watchdog finds systematic problems at the VA. Really? You need to bring another investigation into it to tell us what's going on. Oh, we know what's going on. The investigation should be performed by the law enforcement, not an inspector general. Law enforcement. You put people on secret lists? Okay, that's murder. That's law enforcement. Obama speaks at West Point, which again, and now he's speaking at West Point. That's pathetic. And I don't know. I've got some clips on here. They're different clips than what you probably heard and you've seen the speech. It's totally, I mean, the speech. My God in heaven. There's some stuff in here. I didn't understand what he meant by it. I wonder if he misread the teleprompter or it was a typo and nobody corrected it. He doesn't know what he reads. He just reads. He didn't speak from the heart. He speaks from a teleprompter. And God only knows what these wackos are putting in there. But who's doing it? Who is the teleprompter filler upper? But there's some stuff in here. We're going to cover it if I can ever shut up. Oh, my God. Look at the time. All right, we'll move. We'll move on. We'll get to it. We'll make it. But he has no business speaking at West Point. He has no business talking to anybody military. Not at this point. And now we got another VA. It's run like in Texas now. We got a whistleblower there that says it runs like a crime syndicate. They're doing the same thing, putting people on lists. It's not just one VA. It's rampant. You probably had one that did it and go, hey, man, look at this. This works. Somebody else who didn't get their bonus, they called up and said, hey, man, how did you do that? We got all these. We don't know. Well, you see, I got this secret list I came up with. You put them on this list over here, they don't get any care at all. Look at this. The books look clean, look great. You get your bonus. You can get that new boat. You can get that new car, new television. Oh, yeah, this is great. Then just put them on a list. It doesn't matter. Just pick one. It doesn't matter. You just put enough on there, you'll be all right. You know, it's all about getting that bonus. It's not about getting these vets to care. These are people. These are people. You do not put people. You do not put people on secret lists so they don't get care. You do not decide. A goddamn, I guess an office clerk. Who did this? This is what I want to know. Who was the person that actually put the people on the list? I want those people, and I want the people who authorized it. Those are the people that I want. Those are the people that need to be brought up on murder. Murder charges, yes, yes, yes. I'm sorry, it's murder. That's right, and the president needs to be impeached for treason, amongst a whole bunch of other things. There, I said it. Okay, fine. Let the cat right out of the bag. That's because I don't sugarcoat it, and I'm not about to. What they did to the VA was murder. What the president did in Benghazi was treason. What the attorney general did in Fast and Furious was criminal. That, I guess you can call murder, too. Whatever degree it is, I don't know. But because of his actions, Brian Terry is no more. That's murder. And now the VA cops, for Christ's sakes, now. I mean, God almighty, cops. A VA cop now stomps on a veteran's head, killing him. Because he wanted to get treatment somewhere else because it was taking him so frickin' long. And he wanted to leave. He's an old guy. Look, sometimes guys get old, they don't have time for this kind of crap. And they're going to get up and they're going to leave. Well, they decided they wanted to take charge. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm a cop. See this? I got a badge. See this over here? That's a gun. See this over here? That's a stick. See this here? That's a taser. See these? These are handcuffs. You give me respect. No, you earn it. Then I give it. And then shut up. But the VA cops beat the hell out of this guy, giving him a stroke, and they lied to his widow, who was out there trying to get a car. She's like, moving her car so the husband can leave. She says, okay, fine, these people are screwing around, I'll go get the car. Well, before she could come back, they had already killed him. She comes up and they say, well, your husband had a stroke. Well, he did have a stroke after they beat him to the point where he did have a stroke. Hit him in the head, the chest, and everywhere else. Yeah, you gave the man a stroke, he had a heart attack and died. All because you're in charge. You're a cop. Oh, look at this. The Kim Kardashians. Oh, my God. Oh, these Kardashians. Could you please go away? America, what's wrong with you? Why do you? You know, when I talk about the Kardashians, I'm not really talking so much about Kim Kardashian as I'm talking about the people who watch this crap. What the hell is that? Why? What? Where is the entertainment value? How did our society slip to the level where watching bimbos on TV act like bimbos just to get attention? How is this entertainment for us? Why does society demand the Kardashians? Demand shows like this? Why do we demand that? What has happened to us? Why? How did we get here? I can't go there. Well, the Hamptons, they don't seem to want to go there either. Evidently, the Kardashian girls now have got this new show coming up. What the hell do they call the name of this now? What the hell is it? The Kardashians meet the Hamptons, or take the Hamptons. What if it's like, you know, Debbie does Dallas, but only Kardashians? I don't know. But what the hell? I mean, well, first of all, I didn't think that they were still on the air, but evidently they are. Well, the Hamptons don't like the fact that they're there. They don't want them disrupting their town. The people in the Hamptons on Long Island, which I've been there, it's the kind of town, they don't like what they call riffraff. And that's quoted. One man said that they're riffraff. Well, they don't like the riffraff. Well, good for them. They don't want what it's going to bring in the summer. It's a quiet town. They don't want a bunch of, you know, people coming in there, trying to see the stupid Kardashian girls, take pictures, bring the paparazzi. They want to keep their town a nice, quiet, little town. I don't blame them. But looks like the Kardashians are going to show up, going to disturb the entire Hamptons this summer. So anybody who's going to vacation there, it's going to be a disaster. There's going to be too many people. That's why people go to the Hamptons, to get away from people. And you got to spend your whole vacation with the goddamn Kardashian girls. Oh, God. Well, I don't think Kim's in this one. I think because she's married to this Kanye West, who's an idiot. That guy, I'm sorry. But he's a dummy. He's a dummy. He's a dummy. He's a dum-dum. She's a dummy. They're both dummies. But it's the other two girls, and I don't know their names, and I don't give a damn. Oh, here it is. Courtney and Chloe. Oh, and she's Kim. Oh, look at that. All K's. Isn't that cute? Yeah. Well, good for the Hamptons. Stand up and say no. America should stand up and say no and stop watching it. And who watches this? This is what I'd like to know. Who are the people that watch this crap? Who the hell are these people? Well, I don't want to know. But let's get into some stuff here tonight. Running out of time. I knew this was going to happen. I want to play some clips here. They're short clips. One of them in here, I don't even know what the hell it is, so we'll find out. It's a surprise. But this first clip here, this really says where this president, where he is. And I don't know where he is. I can't quite figure out where his mind is. And I'm trying to figure out, is what he was reading in that teleprompter, was that written specific? Was it a typo? Or does he really believe this crap? Does he really feel this way? Is this what he's really saying? Is this what he's really doing? I haven't quite figured it out yet, but there's a couple of things in here that he said that just it blew my mind, and I listened to it several times. Did I hear that? Well, I did, and I don't understand it. So let's get into this first cut here now. I won't tell you what it is, but we're going to go ahead and we're going to talk about it. It's pretty short, so go ahead and play this first one.
We have removed our troops from Iraq. We are winding down our war in Afghanistan. Al-Qaeda's leadership on the border region between Pakistan and Afghanistan has been decimated, and Osama bin Laden is no more.
Well, a couple of things right there. And I didn't want to say anything. I just wanted to let you listen to it. And, yeah, you heard it correctly. Al-Qaeda is decimated, and Osama bin Laden is no more. This is the president today at West Point giving a speech to West Point. Brand new officers. Didn't he already learn the last time when he said Al-Qaeda is decimated, they're on the run, they're on their heels? Well, this time he was specific. On the border of Pakistan and Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda is decimated, and Osama bin Laden is no more. But then there was a pause. Obviously, then it dawned on somebody, turn the applause light on. They don't know they're supposed to clap. So then they clapped. Mr. President, first of all, Al-Qaeda is not decimated anywhere on planet Earth. They're in the United States. Why would you make this claim in the first place? Why would you come out and say Al-Qaeda is decimated? They're not. They're growing by numbers every day. Because you keep putting weapons into their frickin' hands. Could you stop that, please? And now you're trying to do it again in Syria. You're trying to give these – oh, they're moderates. That's right. They're moderates. Really? They're moderates? What is a moderate? What does that mean, moderate? I don't understand what that means. What is moderate? One hangs you and one cuts your head off. What is moderate? What does that mean? They're not moderate. There's no such thing as moderate. You are or you're not. And yeah, that's Al-Qaeda. And you are putting weapons in the hands of Al-Qaeda. Now we got the second one. And the third one, this is the one that just blew my mind. And we're going to get to it, if I can ever shut up, but we're going to get to it. We're going to get through all this stuff. So go ahead. This is cut number two. This real quick one.
Through it all, we've refocused our investments in what has always been a key source of American strength, a growing economy that can provide opportunity for everybody who's willing to work hard and take responsibility here at home.
Now, see this right here. This, first of all, this whole work hard mantra now, it started with Valerie Goebbels. She's out there now. Oh, this is the new mantra now. The work hard mantra, which means work hard for them, not for you. That's what that means. But see, they'd like to take things from the right and then make it like they came up with it. It's theirs. And they do this all the time. It's not like you've never heard this stuff before. But if you work hard and take responsibility here at home, what he's referring to is, well, you obey. You take your responsibility and obey the king's orders here at home. That's your job. And a growing economy. Where's the economy growing? Where? What? Who's growing? Where's the economy growing? Where is it? Detroit? Is that where the economy's growing? Detroit? Refocus our investments? Key source of American strength. Refocus. What is he talking about? None of this stuff makes any sense to me. This guy's a babbler. There's no growing economy. No, now we're going to get into the third one. Then we got a fourth one. Listen to this one here now. Listen, you listen to this one. And you tell me if I haven't lost my frickin' mind.
In fact, by most measures, America has rarely been stronger relative to the rest of the world. Those who argue otherwise, who suggest that America is in decline or has seen its global leadership slip away, are either misreading history or engaged in partisan politics.
Well, there's a whole lot on this one here, but the very first thing out of his mouth, and this is what, maybe I heard it wrong, but in fact, by most measures, America has rarely been stronger relative to the rest of the world. Now, I don't know what that means. That doesn't make any sense to me. I'm missing something here. And this is why I don't understand if this was a typo or if this really means what he wants it to mean. And if that's the case, what the hell does it mean? What do you mean America has rarely been stronger? Up until you came around, we were always stronger. Rarely. Rarely been stronger. We're strong every once in a while, but not very often. Relative to the rest of the world. Well, what is he talking about? What does that even mean? Oh, Iran, that's a tiny little country. They're not a threat, no. You know, as big as Russia. They're just a tiny little country. Look at the map. See right there? You can barely see it. They're not a threat. Let me tell you, the threat isn't in size, you idiot. Al-Qaeda doesn't even have a country. They're all over the world. Look how big they are. Look at the damage they've caused. Now, another thing that pisses me off, those who argue otherwise, meaning those who dare not accept what the king has just said, well, then you're engaging in partisan politics. I'm sorry, Mr. President, but I'm not only suggesting, I'm declaring. It's due to evidence, and all you got to do is open your eyes. America is in decline. You are declining this country. We can go back up, but yeah, we are on the down. Or has seen its global leadership slip away? Excuse me, Mr. President, you are the global leadership that has slipped away. That mess you created in Syria, the mess you created with Putin, the mess you created in Benghazi, the mess you created in Asia, everywhere you go, you create a mess. This country here, what you have done in this country alone, much less what you have done to the rest of the world. So, yeah, our global leadership has slipped away. Nobody respects you, Mr. Obama. You don't have any real leadership in the world. You're not respected. They don't like you. They don't want you. And this is not engaging in partisan politics. Partisan politics? That's you. Now, you now get this next one out.
Think about it. Our military has no peer. The odds of a direct threat against us by any nation are low and do not come close to the dangers we faced during the Cold War.
See, now, this is what I was getting at here before. Oh, Iran, that's a tiny little country. Oh, they're no threat to America. So the odds of a direct threat of any nation are low. But he didn't say Al-Qaeda, which isn't a nation. So this way he can get away with it. I wonder if Candy Crowley wrote this down yet. So the next time there's a, you know, there's an argument, Candy Crowley can stand up and say, I've got the transcript right here. Look at it. Right there it is. The president didn't lie. He used the word terrorism. But the odds of a direct threat of any nation are low? Really? Do not come close to the dangers we faced during the Cold War? Really? I mean, is this man out of his goddamn mind? What the hell is he talking about? This man is certifiably delusional. I don't get it. I don't understand where this man's head is. What is he talking about? How can this man be so obtuse that he does not understand this crap? Iran can't wait to attack the United States. It may not be from a nation. Qaeda, look how many people they killed of Americans. They're not a nation. Look, just because he talks about, well, here's another one. Where's the next one here? I don't want to get ahead of myself. But if it isn't this, if it isn't the next one, he talked about history. Well, you've got to understand the history of the military. Okay, yeah. Okay, just because we've had a history of being able to whoop ass, it doesn't mean that just because of our history, doesn't mean that we're going to be able to continue to do it, especially when you're getting rid of all of the good officers, all the generals. You're getting rid of everybody. You're getting rid of their budget. You're getting rid of this. You're getting rid of ships. You're getting rid of bases. You're getting rid of missiles. That's not military strength, not for nothing. But when you subtract and you don't add, see, subtraction is not addition. Subtraction is attrition. Maybe he got the words screwed up. Put a T instead of a D or D instead of a T. Maybe he did that. I don't know. But, yeah, our country is in decline. Thanks to you, Mr. Obama. All right, let's play this next one here.
Meanwhile, our economy remains the most dynamic on Earth.
Yeah,
business is the most innovative.
Yeah.
Each year, we grow more energy independent.
Every year.
From Europe to Asia, we are the hub of alliances unrivaled in the history of nations.
This is what I just cannot figure this guy out. Each year, we grow more energy independent? Really? How? You got rid of all the coal mines. You're not allowed to drill for oil. You can't get natural gas. How are we getting more energy independent? The most dynamic economy on Earth? Really? Let's see. We have 325 million people thereabouts, depending on how many illegal aliens are over here. So 325, we'll just say, is a roundabout number. And not all of those are in the actual workforce age. Some are little babies. Some are really old. So out of 325 million, how many of those are in the actual workforce or available to work? But there's 91.5 million Americans that are out of work. And he's talking about the most dynamic economy on Earth. How? 91.5 million people out of 325. That's a big number there. But when you take that 325 and you take a whole bunch of people out of there that are little babies, and old people. That percentage is much higher. So where are you getting this most dynamic economy on Earth from? Oh, it came from your teleprompter. Oh, okay. Well, if it's in your teleprompter, it's got to be true. Teleprompters don't lie. All right, now this one here, I can't remember what the hell this one was. But I didn't understand what he meant by from Europe to Asia with a hub of alliances unrivaled in the history of nations. What the hell is he talking about? The whole world can't stand us. Nobody is respecting the United States right now. Who the hell is he talking to? What the hell is he talking about? Look, I know he's got to give a speech, but I mean, come on. I mean, you can't say these things. Most dynamic economy? What the hell is this man talking about? Energy independent? And the odds of a direct threat from any nation is low? Al-Qaeda's on the run? Al-Qaeda's decimated in Pakistan and Afghanistan border. They're decimated. Osama bin Laden, he's no more. I mean, my God, I mean, how many more times does this guy gotta stick his foot in his mouth and get burned? But see, it doesn't affect him. It affects us. Every time you open up your fat mouth, Mr. Obama, you're affecting the American people. You're not affecting you. We have to suffer because of your stupidity. Because of your chronic foot and mouth disease. Al-Qaeda is not decimated anywhere. They're right in the United States. They're in Europe. They're in Asia. They're all over. They're all over. They may not fly under the Al-Qaeda flag, but they're flying under the Islamic flag, the Islamic extremism flag, which means they want to take total control. Well, I wonder what's going to happen when Al-Qaeda wants to take control, and Obama says, no, I'm the king. And they're saying, no, you're not. Then what's going to happen? This is what happens with tyrants. When a tyrant meets a tyrant, they don't like it. Wait a minute. I've got to have control over him. And then they got to go to war. So if everybody just mind their own goddamn business once in a while, we wouldn't have any frickin' wars. All right. I think we're done with these stupid tapes. He's got another one. They keep calling this a sectarian war. How can it be a sectarian war? That's another clip. I'm not going to play it. I'm done. But I don't know. How can it be a sectarian war when Al-Qaeda is fighting for Sharia law, which is Islam, which is a religion? Ah. Well, let's get into this here real quick before we start running out of time. This U.S. Marine that our State Department doesn't give a damn about, our president doesn't give a damn about, nobody in our government obviously seems to give a damn about. He's a war hero. Did a couple of tours of duty fighting for the president. Sergeant Andrew Tamaresi. We all know who he is. Still in a Mexican jail because he made a wrong turn. And he was honest and said, look, I got guns in here. Up. I made the wrong turn. Let me go. Well, there's reports where one of the guys was offered to escort him back to the border. But something happened after that, and no. That didn't go through. Well, Mr. Tamaresi arrived shortly after 9 a.m. at the federal courthouse in Tijuana, where his fired attorney, I can't pronounce the fire attorney's name. Not even close. I can't do the first name, and I can't do the last name. And it doesn't matter. It's his attorney. Fired him. There was a court-appointed attorney there and a temporary lawyer that was their representative. He now has a new lawyer who has new confidence in. This is his mom. Evidently, this other lawyer had tried to get him to lie, and he was smart enough to realize that if you lie in a Mexican, if you got any kind of different kind of story and they think that you lied, you're screwed. It's unlike here in the United States where you lie, you get a contempt charge, which means it just sits in a stack of paperwork somewhere, in some office somewhere, and collects dust. But see, in Mexico, you lie in there, you go to a really bad jail. So he was smart enough to realize that this attorney was probably trying to get him to lie. And if he got caught lying, he'd be in a hell of a lot of trouble. Because he knows that, well, we leave all men behind. He knows that the president's not going to send anybody. He knows nobody from the government's going to come there and help him out. He's got the Secretary of State in Mexico City. He's having brunch. But he raised the issue. Which means what? What does that mean? You raised the issue. Oh, by the way, yeah, we got a war hero in one of your jails. Oh, really? Oh, okay. Is that what you meant by raise the issue? What did you do with that issue when you raised it? Huh? What did you do with that issue? Where is it? This man's gone to court. Why was not somebody representing America? Why has somebody not been over there? It's a phone call away. The Secretary of State could have done this. They still haven't done anything. But they raised the issue. And meanwhile, we'll out, 13,000 murderers, rapists, and child molesters? We'll let them out of our jails. No problem. Free to roam the streets, free to roam the entire country. As long as they vote Democrat, they'll be all right. So he fired the attorney. They got to go back now in June. June 4th, I believe, is the date. Well, good for him. I think this guy's a pretty smart guy, this Sergeant Tamaresi. I think what happened here, he realized that this attorney, you never know in Mexico. You never know who's working for who. That's a very corrupt country. You think we got corruption in the United States? No. Mexico is very famous for corruption. Very famous. So he was smart enough to realize that. So he fired him, got another opportunity. Meanwhile, he's got to go back to a jail that God only knows what could possibly happen to him. And our Secretary of State and our President and our Attorney General and all the representatives, the entire Marine Corps, is silent. They're at home. They're on the couch eating Cheetos, watching Kim Kardashian. I don't know. Me personally, it's one phone call away. And if Mexico says no, well, then I bring in the Marine Corps. We're going to get our boy home. You don't like it? Well, that's too goddamn bad. And you keep your people over here. You keep your people over in your own goddamn country. They cross my border. Well, we're not going to be very kind to them anymore. We're not going to let them out. We're going to make life absolutely miserable, not only for them, but for you. But see, we don't do that. Because all these people coming over, everybody wants them to be votes. Democrats want them to vote for them. And the Republicans, well, they kind of act like they're big and tough to their constituents. But they act, you know, the closer to the border you get, the softer they are on it. Because they want those people to vote for them. It's all about votes. It has nothing to do with the common defense of the country. The common sense of the country. It has nothing to do with any of that. It all has to do with the vote. As long as we win, then everything's fine. Really, as long as you win what? Oh, you win the election. Okay, well, just winning an election, we've seen that just winning an election doesn't really do a whole hell of a lot. Obama's won an election. Hasn't really done a whole hell of a lot, but screw everything up. But anything productive? No. We have nothing. What? Everybody talks about, well, what did Hillary do, her accomplishments? Well, how about the president? What is his accomplishment? Let's see. IRS, Fast and Furious, Benghazi, the stimulus package. That was an accomplishment, yeah. Obamacare, the NSA, the VA problems. All righty. Well, we're not going to be able to get into this story tonight, but we'll get into it tomorrow. I want to get into this about the VA, these systematic problems. I mean, this story just doesn't seem to go away, and it's not just in one VA. It's in a lot of them. But now we got two of them. We're going to have a two for tomorrow. I can't leave the VA alone. I can't leave Justina Pelletier alone. I can't leave Benghazi alone. I can't leave that Sergeant Tamaresi. I can't leave him alone. I can't leave this VA stuff alone. I can't leave what the IRS did. I can't leave that alone. There's too many things that you can't leave alone. I want to talk about all of it at once, and I know I can't do it. I mean, we have problems coming in every goddamn direction. They're taking rights over here, liberties over there, freedoms over here. Nobody likes the fact that they got to follow a constitution because they can't get whatever they want. Well, it's not about what they want. It's about what we want, but what we need. And what we need is for the government to stay out of our goddamn lives and let us decide what we want and what we need for ourselves. I don't understand why that is so out of the norm. How is that extreme? How is being secure within yourself to decide for yourself how you will live your life, how that is extreme, how that is hurtful, how that is harmful to society, I don't know. How that is hateful, I don't get it. I don't know any of this stuff. But it's okay to be independent. It's okay to be free. It's okay to be you. You don't have to agree with everybody. You don't have to go with the flow just to go with the flow. I've never gone with the flow. Personally, most often than not, the flow is not something that I just don't like it. I either like it or I don't. When it comes to music, it comes to anything. There's a lot of bands and a lot of my friends I love. I can't stand them. Can't listen to it. I like what I like. I don't like what I don't like. And most people are that way. But there's far too many people out there that don't want to be that way. Because if they are that way, well, then they might accidentally say something that somebody might misinterpret as being racist, and then they're going to be, you know, kicked out of all their clubs, and, you know, have to lose their job, blah, 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 blah. You got to be yourself. And if yourself is what it is, then that's what it is. If you don't like it, you're the only one who can change yourself. Nobody else can change you. The government can't change you. They can write all the legislation in the world, but they still can't change you. You have to do it. And if you allow yourself to change because the government told you to, you are the one still making that move. You are still changing. Well, you don't have to if you don't want to. It's not up to the government to decide how you think. Now they're trying to tell teachers how to teach. They're trying to tell doctors how to doctor. They're trying to tell everybody how to do everything. What else aren't these people in? And you think you got problems in the VA? Oh, well, that's just an isolated incident. That can't happen to regular hospitals. That's just the VA. That's just the government. That can never, never happen. No, it can never happen in these hospitals. That's just the government. Well, that's all government now. That's right, Obamacare. Yeah, remember that little thing, the Affordable Care Act? Yeah, the medical care is now government. So you think you've got problems with the VA. This is nothing. With all the people that they have on these lists and all the people that have died, you think that's a problem? It is. I'm not saying it's not. But that is small potatoes compared to what is going to happen. And probably more than likely is already happening now. You might know somebody this is happening to. But this stuff is real. You think what's going on in the VA is bad. Well, you haven't seen anything yet. Wait till Obamacare is fully operational. Wait till the more power they get, the more control they get. There's going to be a lot of people on secret lists. There's going to be a lot of people not getting care. There's going to be a lot of doctors leaving. They can't deal with it. You don't got no doctors? How are you going to care for somebody? One doctor can only care for so many patients. Well, there's going to be a lot more of it. And you voted for it. Not once, but twice. How many times were you told? Everything that we told you what's going to happen with this Obama administration has come true, every damn bit of it. And yet, here we are, right in the middle. It's happening, and we still want to ignore it. Well, there's a lot of people that don't. You're one of them. I'm one of them. And that number is growing, and that's what it takes. Wherever you see a fight, you fight it. It doesn't matter how big or how small. You need some hands? Well, then you get to your friends. Get to your neighbor. Hey, there's a big fight over here, man. We got to put this out. Can you help me out? Sure, I can help you out, neighbor. Come on, let's go to work. Let's put out this goddamn fire. Let's get our freedoms back. And that's what it takes, man. If we're going to be united, we got to think like we're united. We got to be as one. And we don't change our way of life for anybody. We don't change our way of life for one terrorist. I don't care. We shouldn't have to give up one right, one liberty, one freedom for one goddamn terrorist. They change their life for us. We don't change our life for them. That's how I look at it. So I want to thank everybody that was listening tonight, everybody that was on their smartphones, everybody who's going to download. Looks like we had a lot of people that were in here today. Okay, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you back here tomorrow night at 8. Goodbye, everybody.